Hey everyone, welcome back to brand new episode of STTV Cast podcast. I am Krishna Bulchandani and I have with me Shweta Ramkumar. Hi Shweta.
Hi Krishna. Hi guys.
So what we are talking today. So something strange is happening in the universe. There are still phenomena we can't explain. Every time we learn something new and look further back in the history of the universe, more questions arise, right? So what is dark matter? Why did Big Bang create more matter than antimatter, allowing the universe to form? All these questions we are not able to answer. So today we'll be talking about the subfield of astrophysics, which will help us in answering all these questions. And it is astrophysics. And it is astroparticle physics. So it looks at the most basic building blocks in the nature to learn more about how they work. By studying these particles from the universe, we can learn more about how it was formed and hopefully start to answer the questions. Right, Shweta? Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Astroparticle physics is also called as particle astrophysics, and it is a branch of particle physics which studies basic elementary particles of astronomical origin and how do they relate to astrophysics and cosmology. So this field has undergone a very rapid development, both experimentally and theoretically, since the early 2000s. But I think, Krishna, before we dive into what this is all about, I think we need to know a bit about the history, right?
Yeah, right. So the field of astroparticle physics evolved out of optical astronomy, and with the growth of detector technology came more mature astrophysics, and which involved multiple physics subtopics such as mechanics, electrodynamics, thermodynamics, plasma physics, nuclear physics, relativity, and particle physics. So particle physicists found astrophysics necessary due to difficulty in producing particles with comparable energy to those found in space. So for example, the cosmic ray spectrum contains particles with energies as high as 10 to 20 electron volts, where proton-proton collision at the Large Hadron Collider occurs at around energy of 10 to 12 electron volts.
Yes, and this field can be said to have begun in 1910 when a German physicist named Theodor Wolff measured the ionization in the air, which is an indicator of gamma radiation. He measured this at the top and bottom of the Eiffel Tower, and he found that there was far more ionization at the top than that was expected, if only terrestrial sources were, you know, attributed for this radiation.
Yeah, and the Austrian physicist Victor Hess hypothesized that some of this radiation was caused by radiation from sky. In order to defend his hypothesis, he designed instruments capable of operating at high altitudes and performed observation on ionization up to an altitude of around 5.2 kilometers. So from 1911 to 1913, Hess made 10 flights to meticulously measure ionization levels. And through prior calculation, he did not expect there to be any ionization above altitude of 500 meters if terrestrial sources were the only cause of radiation. So his measurement, however, revealed that although ionization levels initially decreased with altitude, they began to sharply rise at some point. And at the peak of his flight, he found that the ionization levels were much greater than at the surface.
And he was then able to conclude that a radiation of very high penetrating power enters our atmosphere from above. And that's the statement that he quoted. Furthermore, one of Hess's flights was also took place during a near total eclipse of the sun. So that's amazing. Since he did not observe a dip in ionization levels, Hess reasoned that the source had to be further away in space.
Yeah, and for this discovery, he was one of the people awarded Nobel Prize in Physics in 1936. And in 1925, Robert Millikan confirmed Hess's finding and subsequently coined the term cosmic rays. And many physicists knowledgeable about the origins of astroparticle physics prefer to attribute this discovery of cosmic rays by Hess as a starting point for this field.
That's amazing. But current unsolved problems for the field of astroparticle physics include, say, characterization of dark matter and dark energy, and observations of orbital velocities of stars in our galaxy, as well as other galaxies, starting with Walter Bate and Fritz Zwicky in the 1930s, along with velocities that were already observed in galaxies in galactic clusters, found motion to be far exceeding the energy density of what we see, the visible matter, in which is needed to account for their movement or dynamics.
Yeah, and since the early 90s, some candidates, they have been found to be partially explained some of the missing dark matter, but they are nowhere near sufficient to offer a full explanation. The finding of an accelerating universe suggests that a large part of missing dark matter is stored as dark energy in a dynamical vacuum.
And another question for astroparticle physicists is, why is there so much more matter than antimatter in the universe today? And there's a term for this, and that's called biogenesis, which is a term for hypothetical processes that produce the unequal number of baryons and antibaryons in the early universe, which is basically maybe the reason why the universe is made up of matter today and not antimatter.
Yeah. And the standard model, which streamlined our understanding of physics forces that govern the universe, was developed in 1960s and has remained largely the same since then. In the past decade, however, advances in the particle physics, cosmology, and astroparticle physics have helped us better understand what we still have to learn. And some of these discoveries, like dark matter and quantum gravity, don't fit within the standard model.
Yeah. But although experiments at particle accelerators have confirmed the standard model's predictions to be accurate, most physicists even now believe that there are some areas of physics that it cannot explain, that even we still do not understand. And the experimental facilities, if we talk about that, particles are basically pieces of puzzle, right, for understanding the fundamental laws and structures of how a universe is the way it is. So particle detectors operating in clean rooms underground are basically the best approach if you want to catch a glimpse of these fundamental particles.
Exactly. And the rapid development of this field has led to design of new types of infrastructure. In underground laboratories or with specially designed telescopes, antennas, and satellite experiments, astroparticle physicists employ new detection methods to observe a wide range of cosmic particles, including neutrinos, gamma rays, and cosmic rays at the highest energies. They are also searching for dark matter and gravitational waves. Experimental particle physicists are limited by the technology of terrestrial accelerators, which are only able to produce a small section of one of the energies found in nature.
Yeah, but if you look at a few of these facilities now, so we have one called Ice Cube in Antarctica. So this is said to be the longest particle detector in the world, and it was completed in December 2010. The purpose of this detector is to investigate high-energy neutrinos, search for dark matter, observe supernova explosions, and also search for exotic particles such as, say, magnetic monopoles. And then we have a second facility, which is, I have no clue how do you pronounce that, but it's Zenont, I believe, and it's actually an upgrade of a previous version. I don't know, it's called Xenon 1T. So it is a dark matter, which is direct search experiment located at Grand Sasso National Laboratories, and it will be sensitive to WIMPs with SI cross-section of 10⁻⁷ centimeters square. We have another called Borexino, which is a real-time detector. And this detector was designed to find neutrinos from the sun with an organic liquid scintillator target. We have many other such amazing facilities in our world, isn't it, Krisha? Don't we?
Yeah, we do. So astroparticle physics is a way of exploring new physics and has been successful in observing physics outside standard model in the form of measuring neutrino oscillations, which are the changes the tiniest particle in the universe undergo as they travel through space. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's it for this episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed our talk. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. See you.